Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, yeah. Ahead of 2 weeks from the College World Series? Hey, do you know what? You know what the first thing? Okay. First thing that popped in your head when you heard this song? I thought about Surfside.
I thought Girls Gone Wild.
You know what? I think sometimes if you're out at Surfside and it gets a little wild, you got a chance of being shot by the owner or at least having to run from bullets or, you know, whatever happens. Great food, great atmosphere. That's a good summertime people watching spot.
Did you ever go to the old, this is back when they had it over by the river, not the one over by Ralston Arena, but I don't even know if it's still there, but Anchor Inn.
Oh, no.
Now, that was, especially during like Memorial Day weekend, Labor Day weekend, 4th of July weekend.
Oh, you're talking Anchor Inn on 72nd.
Yeah, one still around, by the way?
Well, thanks for coming over to my neighborhood.
You don't even go over to Ralston. You said it's too far.
No, that's not Ralston. That's up the street from me.
Okay, so they
72nd and Center? Yeah.
Yeah, 72nd and Center. Yeah,
so they moved it. Okay, it used to be literally like across the street from Ralston.
Isn't that the Anchor Inn? What was the place that had COVID before COVID existed? 72nd and Center.
No, you're thinking of, that's not the Anchor Inn. What is that one?
They tore it down.
Yeah.
Like I went in there one time. I was advised not to, but I'm curious. So I went in there. I walked in. It was like The Simpsons. I walked in and walked right back out. I'm like, this will not end well. You're right. It's not the Anchor Inn. Help me here. Jimmy, you're from Omaha.
I know. It's escaping me because I got Anchor Inn.
They tore that place down.
So they moved the Anchor Inn that was on the river. And this is where you could, you know, pull your boat up and they'd have concerts. And especially during like the summer holidays. I mean, it was a blank show. And you talk about people watching.
Oh, Shark Club.
Shark Club, yes.
All right. Great name.
Yeah. That was another one, much like Boondockers, where you probably wanted to give it a little bit of a couple days while the dust settled because you might come away with a super germ. Just saying.
Super germ, decent band name.
As you were telling the other day of where you went as a younger guy to find older women in this town, was that on the list?
Going on a cougar hunt.
No, that one was, it was usually... Everyone like in their, you know, 21 to 25. So like if you even went there like in your late 20s, early 30s, you were kind of the creepy elders.
Yeah. I think I got a Surfside weekend ahead of me. I might before the College World Series, I might just, blow one off and head out there and live music right by the river.
Maybe get a little
great food. Yes. Great food.
They wait an hour to pee. That's what the song says.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm a guy.
Yeah.
Dude, I'll go in the woods.
Yeah.
I'll go behind a car.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I just appreciate that.
Or I'll do it in the middle of the street where I can show off my cursive skills. Welcome to Friday, folks.
We've all done that.
All right, here is it's a heck of a segue. Good morning, Random Mike.
Random Mike.
What's on your mind?
Hey, just good news for the Huskers and Creighton, but something I learned last week that makes it even better news. You know who's playing pro basketball in Japan?
Who?
The big monster from Illinois. Kofi, what's his name?
Cockburn?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you know that?
I did not know that's where he was. Are you surprised by that?
Yeah. Didn't you think he'd be an NBA guy?
Well, kind of. I thought he'd at least be a possibility of being a two-way guy.
But, I mean, I thought it was a probability that Casey was going to play in Japan.
I think he's got an opportunity to play there, but his dream, Mike, is to really play in the NBA. And I think he's got enough people around him that have advised him that his best route is not going back home and then coming back, is to stay here, play college basketball, and just have one team take a chance on you.
Yeah. I mean, it's all pretty unlikely. And, but learning that, Dick Kofi and, that game that, Walker played against Kofi, I just thought it was heroic. Do you remember that?
Is that the Teddy Allen game? No, it's not.
Is it the Friday night game? The one that Nebraska should have won?
You're talking about the overtime game.
Yeah, and I just thought, you know, and what Walker did against the big dude from Purdue. I mean, I just thought those were heroic efforts.
Yeah, you know, D-Walk had his moments here. He'd be another guy that you would wish would get a seventh year of college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But you talk about X factors. The big guy, I think, is a big X factor for Nebraska.
Which one?
Blaise Keita?
Yeah. What do you think?
Well, if he's healthy, okay. So there's the if, which I'm not going to go down the road because there is the if.
I mean, do you think there's a decent chance of that? Because remember, well, in that Wisconsin game, he made all the difference, I thought.
Oh, he did. He did. That was huge in that comeback. He's got to be able to be on the floor in a consistently on a night-in, night-out basis. I mean, mm-hmm. He's got some work to do. I don't know what you'll ever get out of him offensively. I mean, I think he can help you defensively, but I'm wondering about his long-term health.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a big X factor. And did you get to see... Shane Pitsilani.
Shane Comine?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw every one of his starts at Nebraska.
Is that right? Then we would have been there together. But this is at Buck Belzer. I mean, what a dump. But sitting behind home plate there, which you were able to do, and watch Shane Comine.
See the beauty of that curveball.
It was kind of like watching Greg Maddux, and he could do anything with that ball.
He was, about as close to a guaranteed win as Nebraska Athletics has ever had.
Yep.
Yeah, and did you think he'd make it in the majors? I know he had the size thing, but he was there for like a day or two.
Well, he threw a lot of pitches in college, mm-hmm. and it caught up to him. Unfortunately, he was also, as you know, Mike, of watching him, he wasn't a very big dude. I mean, that was a small body that was throwing with as much torque, and yeah. I mean, it weared on his arm his time at Nebraska. I'm glad that he got to be involved in professional baseball, but he also knew when it was time to go. He just didn't have anything left.
The arm sleeve wasn't just an accessory piece.
Yeah.
There was a reason for that.
Yeah, and I remember when he got the standing ovation at the end of his career there, and I was thinking, not many guys in their life will have that experience, and you know, he was truly loved. I'm with you. What a fun guy to watch. Yeah. Take care, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Mike. Your reaction.
A little bit of everything.
Okay.
Random, if you will.
Mike hadn't called for a while, so we got a lot of stuff in there. So, I was saying.
Well, we were talking about Surfside. Then we went to that, and now we're back. So, what direction would you like to go? You want to talk about some Manassas coaches?
No. Now he's got me thinking about basketball real quick here.
Okay.
Are we completely... I feel like I just shorted Mike on his discussion about Derek Walker against Cockburn. And is he talking about the game? No. I don't know if this is super memorable. So it was 2 years ago when... I mean... Illinois was, what, 25th?
There was
country that came in here and they beat Nebraska by 10?
I remember that Friday night game. It would have been during the COVID year.
I mean, that was the game that
Nebraska had at home.
Where Teddy went crazy.
And, yeah.
See,
that was the one I was thinking of.
I don't know if that's... So Walker had 14-7 in that game.
Nothing like earth-shattering.
Yeah. All right. Shifting to football. So... Every year, Athlon comes out. Then there's Lindy's. Mm-hmm. And then there's Phil Steele. Does Lindy still do the insert with the cheerleaders?
Wasn't that
was a thing.
And I don't believe.
I don't think they do anymore.
Okay.
I don't believe they do.
But the preseason magazines are getting fewer. And Phil Steele, who doesn't come out until July 4th, that is the Bible. But the one thing I like about Athlon is they'll do the one portion of opposing coaches that size up Nebraska. This is from last year. And then we're going to read you, because I have in my hands in the mail yesterday, the new Athlon. So we're going to tell you what opposing coach says about Matt Rhule. This was last year. Okay, so the magazine came out around the same time last year,
mm-hmm.
you know, ahead of Scott Frost last year. In their division, and Nick and Jimmy, you tell me how close this was to actually how the season played out.
Okay.
In their division, Nebraska still has the best-looking roster. We call it the all-bus team because they look better than anyone else in the West in pregame. Long, tall dudes, really athletic, and then after a quarter or so, you stop worrying because they're usually hurting themselves. They struggle with turnovers. They struggle with technique. I think it's a culture issue.
Good morning, PJ.
Defensively, yep. They improved, but they lost some of their better guys to eligibility, and they filled it with transfers. We ask ourselves a lot what's going on there because they're pulling in good talent and have the resources, and the administration seems to have faith in the staff. With the new OC and the do-or-die mentality, they have to manage the summer really well and find the right quarterback. My guess is that Mark Whipple's going to take over the room. He's a headstrong guy. The biggest thing they need to do is get the O-line to a point where they can run the ball long enough to let the defense breathe. That defense isn't the problem. They were as solid as hell at times. The offense just needed to stay on the field and not burn quick possessions, not go tempo and get desperate because you're playing from behind. Obviously, this is a big year for them. They're talented enough, but there is some kind of mental block here. If they can't come out and win and show some signs that they can build around what they're doing, this is probably it. So that was an opposing coach last year in the spring of 2022 when asked about Nebraska. Now, we think this is Iowa.
Really? See, I could see Minnesota there, too.
There's a phrase in there about administration
that
they've talked about in Iowa City. So that's why we think it was somebody from Iowa. So there's a lot of truth in what that coach said about Nebraska last year.
Pretty spot on.
Yep. That's pretty good. That's pretty good foreshadowing. Yeah, and I remember everybody always used the all-bus team as the way to describe Nebraska. And for a while, you were kind of thinking, okay, how do you shake the all-bus narrative into, you know, actual having substance to what they look like during pregame? And as that coach mentioned, whether it's a mental block, a culture thing, whatever the hell's going on there, they just cannot get over the hump. Now, there were moments. And this was, you know, long after Scott Frost had been dismissed. I mean, you use that Iowa game. I mean, yeah, sure, you had Trey Palmer, and Trey Palmer's a big deal. But use that Iowa game, even when Iowa was starting to make the comeback, you know, there were some teams under the Scott Frost watch that probably would have succumbed. I mean, hell, the Logan Smothers start in Lincoln, where everything looked like, okay, finally, they're going to kind of snap that losing streak. And then you get a block punt. And Nebraska, what people still forget, had the lead, even after that. And it just, there was the sort of the mental breakdown of, oh my gosh, here we go. So at least there was something last year that you could end the season with and say, could have had the same fate, and it didn't. But for pretty much everything else right there was to a T. And it's Nebraska. It is a very accurate, I think, depiction of Nebraska.
Okay, so before I read this year's opposing Big Ten, They've couched it an opposing Big Ten assistant coach, not a head coach. Herb Street was at an event. He's living down in Nashville now, and when he's not fighting with the beat writer for the Cincinnati Reds or Ken Rosenthal about the Reds, he's talking about Nebraska. So this is a quote from Herb Street. Somebody asked him at this event. It's On Three was putting it on for an NIL. They asked him about Nebraska, and Herb Street said, "Quote, well." You're talking to a massive Matt Rhule fan. I am a big believer in him and the culture that he creates. I'll be more surprised if he can't do it than if he can. They have resources. They have history and tradition. Now, people say in 2023, they're in Lincoln, Nebraska. Who wants to go and play there? But if you have the right coach, you can create the energy. Then I think you can bring recruits in. So Herb Street, big fan of Nebraska. This is what is in Athlon this year. Get your cup out. Because you're gonna start to fill it. Matt Rhule, this is from an opposing Big Ten assistant coach. Matt Rhule is a legitimately good football head coach. Fans who are talking about the Carolina Panthers don't get it. He changed the culture at places that were in really, really bad situations, so he's got an even better shot than an alum of waking up the sleeping giant. Sims and Gilbert are good pickups in the portal. The fans could really fall in love with that offense as much as they're using backs and tight ends and grinding. That is a talented offense, but we don't know if they will click. They need a solid proof of concept year with both schemes on both sides of the ball. Otherwise, it's all about recruiting. They're a sleeping giant because every other staff in the league knows what they're building in NIL. They're scary. If they do it the right way and strike deals with players who can be foundation pieces, they're going to be really good down the line. So that's in the Athlon that is out right now, previewing the 23 season, an opposing Big Ten assistant coach. lot of truth in there.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff we've all been talking about, and you get an outsider perspective.
And it's, I think for coaches, this is what I've sort of gathered since Matt Rhule was hired. Heck, since Matt Rhule was back in the college market after being dismissed with the Panthers. There is a lot of mutual respect when it comes to Matt Rhule. There's a lot of respect in the college football coaching peer group when it comes to Matt Rhule. I don't know that was always the case for Scott. I'd be curious to know what the MO was on Scott going into his first year with Nebraska, where it all seemed like this was the right move. Nebraska is doing exactly what they should be doing. Scott Frost is a star in the making. Look what he just did at Central Florida. But I don't think a lot of coaches knew him. There wasn't this strong MO other than more of Scott Frost as a coordinator than it was as a head coach, because he just had the 2 years at Central Florida. Just going off of that, and that could be a number of coaches in the Big Ten, a number of assistant coaches in the Big Ten. I think that it goes back to the track record of Matt Rhule, and once Matt Rhule resurfaced into college football, that whoever would land Matt Rhule as their head coach, whatever conference or even division or division rivals, was going to look at that and say, oh boy. I always felt like he has that type of respect amongst his peers. And so I'm not surprised to hear a lot of that, but also this is the beauty of it. Not just of his reputation, but if you're following how he's going about constructing this roster and trying to have a solid building block year one, you can kind of see what he's trying to do there too. And I think obviously other people in the Big Ten and in college football in part are noticing that.
Well, So in 2017 to 2018, we were desperate around here.
Mm-hmm.
Fans, media, everything. So an alum coming back that had just gone unbeaten, we were desperate.
Yep.
Transition from 22 to 23, we're realistic. Now, about your part of how other coaches look at either Scott or Matt, and their resume is really completely different.
I mean, right.
It wasn't like Scott was hopscotch in the country gaining knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
He had a good thing at Oregon. I wouldn't leave Oregon. I mean, he was tempted to go take another job. He finally took a job in the state of Florida where, you know, he kind of walked into a situation where he knew that could pop.
Yep.
But he didn't have all these different places that were on his resume. So in terms of that, I don't think it's fair to compare, even though they're not very far apart in age. Where Rhule, you know, Rhule kind of grinded and had numerous stops along the way, but also got a, you know, he's a head coach at two different places, and then you throw in the pro.
Right.
But his network, I was always kind of amazed with Scott, is it didn't seem like his network was that large. For a guy that, you know, when they were at Oregon, when he was just a wide receiver coach, they were humming along.
Mm-hmm.
So people dropped by Eugene a lot to figure out, hey, how's this offense work? And then when he transitioned to OC, he never had... I'm not going to say didn't have friends in the industry. He just didn't have a huge network.
Yeah.
Where it seems like Rhule, because of Philadelphia and Texas and the NFL and guys that he's hired, it seems like his network is expansive.
Yeah.
And I think probably Matt Rhule has a great deal of respect for the game of football. And so he's not going to take pot shots at his own conference, at coaches, or his rival.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he likes the game of football, and I think he gets the game of football is tough. Everybody that is at the other 130 Division I schools, it's tough to be a football coach. I respect that you've gotten to this level. And so we're going to do what we're going to do, and you're going to do what you're going to do, but I respect the game. And I think when other coaches feel like a guy respects the game, they respect him as well. And he's got some results that if you're a coach and you're looking at other programs and how they flip things, I think you're going, I got some respect for that guy because he's done it the right way. And he's done it at two places that have been difficult. Now, I wonder if that same coach that Athlon asked would say, do you think this is similar to Temple and Baylor in the terms of you got to flip it?
Year one, yeah.
More resources, but what you're inheriting.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably spot on. And I think that's probably shared around the conference.
Yeah, because I think... And again, I'm not trying to compare Scott and Matt Rhule, but again, how you're going to look at Matt Rhule too. We've seen it, we've heard it in the short time since he was hired to now get into summer, his perspective on how he wants to do things, but also his perspective of where he's been and how that's kind of motivated him. He's not shied away from the failed experiment with Carolina. And I think that there is a humble approach to Matt Rhule. And that to me goes back to how he does go about respecting the game. Something as minuscule as not maybe taking the bait when it comes to talking about a rival or another first-year coach where you're going to, we talked about this yesterday, you're going to understand your place. Not necessarily you individually as a coach, but the program that you inherited. And knowing that in order to be able to maybe puff the chest out a little bit, and not that Matt Rhule is going to do a lot of that and get bulletin board material, he's someone that I think once he feels confident with what they have going, okay, you're going to notice a sense of pride, but he's very realistic to what he has in front of him. I don't always know if that was the case. And to me, that goes back to experience. It goes back to being humbled in situations like Temple, like Baylor, and then being ultimately motivated by what didn't end up happening in Carolina for him.
You have a pro coach that likes the game of football.
Yeah.
He respects the game of football. Winning is hard. Constructing a program is hard. We all got to do it. He respects the people that are in the game, and he respects the sport.
Mm-hmm.
That goes a long way. I mean, that's part of being an adult in the game of football, where it is cutthroat and it's competitive, and you have to find that edge. Now, we'll ask Mike Schaefer coming up in about 90 minutes how we look at Matt Rhule. Caleb Pyfrom, the offensive lineman from Central who's being recruited by Minnesota, said that Fleck and Rhule are very similar. I think it's because they use the word elite.
Elite a lot, yeah.
All right, before we get an update with Jimmy, here's our good friend Dave down in the 941. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Sharpie. How are you guys?
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing good. It's Friday. Hey, over the last year or so since I changed schools, I got a chance to run into quite a few different coaches, and I remember one coach in particular. I'm not going to mention his name, but he was an assistant at Penn State. And I would always ask these guys, hey, you know, what's your thought on Frost or whatever? None of them really knew him. I even asked Kirby Smart when he was at the school. All would say the same thing. They didn't know Frost, never really met him.
Hold on. You asked Kirby Smart about Scott Frost?
I did. I just said, hey, coach, I'm from Nebraska, and I'm just curious on what your thoughts are of Scott Frost. And he said he really didn't know him. He said they ran into each other a couple times at some award shows when he was at UCF, but other than that, none of the coaches really knew him. So later in the year, I ran into that same coach from Penn State, and I asked him about Matt Rhule, and it was a whole different conversation. And he flat out said, for the last 3 years, if Nebraska was on the schedule, you penciled it up as a win. He said, now with Rhule, he said, that's going to change. Nebraska ain't going to be a pushover no more. And I heard that from a few different coaches in the Big Ten.
Wow, that's good to know, because you, I can say what school you're coaching at, right?
Yeah, you can say that.
Yeah, you're at Venice, which is a 8A powerhouse in the state of Florida.
Absolutely. Well, we're 4F now. They changed things. Geez. But, yeah, we're still in the bigger class. And, I mean, we got a kid at Georgia right now. We got a kid at Penn State. So, you know, I have ran into some coaches from bigger programs. And it just amazed me that none of them really knew Frost, because even at the high school level, you still know coaches from other schools. Yeah. You mingle with them. You associate with them.
Well, I think part of this, Dave, is that's why when you have to hire assistants, you know, there's part of this conversation that makes sense to bring your whole staff, because, man, you don't know a lot of people and you don't want to go through the hiring process. I know Scott was not a big fan of when he had to go and hire an offensive line coach or make a decision on an OC. And he didn't have a network where people are like, man, I know about you, we've talked.
Other than Lubick.
I'd love to come, you know, work for you. Yeah, everybody.
Lubick was really the only one.
Essentially, everybody outside of Whipple was a connection to Frost in some way. It wasn't like a new hire with a different form of thinking.
Well, one thing I learned, and I've been doing this a long time, is you can't let your ego get in the way. Don't be afraid to hire somebody who's smarter than you. And I think that got Scott in trouble.
Well, and I also, I mean, we're not going to revisit it. But there's also the part of being either a CEO of a business or a head coach in any sport. You also have to have the ability to coach the coaches.
Right.
And them being able to realize that, You're in it for them, and you're going to help them, and it's not you're lording over them. And, you know, some of the really, really good coaches in the game, and you mentioned one of them in Kirby and then Saban, they do a great job of coaching their own coaches. And what do those coaches do? They move on to the next program. Mm-hmm. They're in charge of their own program, and they coach their next coaches. I think Rhule gets a big kick out of being able to coach his own coaches, help them because they help him. And I never got that sense with Scott that he wanted to coach the guys that he had brought on his staff, which is crazy to me, because they determine if you're getting paid or not getting paid.
Oh, I agree 100%. And you're only as good as the coaches around you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. you see the really good teams, especially in college football, the staffs that they've been able to assemble.
Yep.
I mean, it's, you know, we all like familiarity because, in a tight situation, I know what you can do. But the coaches that think outside of the box and they'll bring in differing opinions of places where you've been able to be a sponge at another program with a really good head coach, I think is a magic trick. So that's why I'm very intrigued by the makeup of Rhule's staff. You know, for the most part, they all have a connection to him, but they all have different backgrounds. You know, they've all been at different places where in the NFL or they've worked for other coaches when they're coming up that they've got that knowledge from. So it's a difficult task. And Dave, thanks for the phone call. That's an underrated part of assembling rosters and staffs is where are you getting them from?
Mm-hmm.
What's your comfort level with your staff? And then what do you do with them when you get them here?
Yeah.
Do you just turn them loose? Or does you hold them accountable? They hold you accountable?
Right.
There's a lot that goes into it. But the really good teams in college football, of course, they have the head coach. But, man, look at their staff. It might not be names you just rattle off, but they're good football coaches and can start connecting the background of where they've been.
And this goes back to the network, too. I know the gold standard of this is always going to be Alabama when Saban has an OC or a DC that goes on to be a Power 5 head coach and probably be a successful one, like Kirby Smart. But who he replaces that person with, going back to the network, okay? There's a long, extensive network of people who legitimately want to coach with him. And when you have that type of reach and you're able to, not because you had to make a change because it's not working out on one of the sides of the football, but because another guy was so good at being an OC or a DC that he's taken on a head coaching position that you're able to fill that position with somebody else that's ready to also play into that caliber too, because you have that type of connection. You have those connections with a lot of those coaches too. And you get the feeling Matt Rhule does. They're not all guys he just brought from Temple to Baylor to Carolina. They all followed him to every spot. They crossed paths. They were on the coaching staff together at some point, but they've kind of done their own thing away from Matt. Now they're back with Matt. You know, there's a little bit of diversity when it comes to that coaching staff.
All right. We'll get some emails and some tweets on Kyle's got a good tweet on that discussion about the anonymous Big Ten assistant coach. What his comment was about Nebraska's program. We'll do that as we roll till 10 a little bit later. Kendall Rogers will stop by on the road to Omaha beginning today. Mike Schaefer, Matt Verzel. But first update of the morning with Jimmy.
Yeah, the assistant coaches thing is always my favorite part of the Athlon magazine. And then you go back afterwards and find out they kind of knew what they were talking about most of the time. Well, Sarah almost did it, but her strong run came to an end yesterday in the Scripps National Spelling Bee. However, Bee officials said they have a feeling she'll be back. Not sure where she is on FanDuel, but we'll check here during one of the breaks.
You got future odds.
I mean, I wonder what the odds were yesterday. Yeah. Omaha Sarah Fernandez was the youngest of 11 spellers who made it to the finals of the National Bee. She was eliminated in the first round of Thursday's finals after misspelling the word Liguellian, I believe, which refers to a lawyer whose methods are petty, underhanded, or disreputable. Sarah, who is a student at St. Stephen the Martyr Catholic School in Millard, is the second in her family to reach the National Spelling Bee. Her older sister, Hannah, qualified for a national event twice. Family is a wagon. She'll be back. All right. Speaking of, Nebraska's Max Anderson and Bryce Matthews were both named Collegiate Baseball All-Americans yesterday. Anderson was a second team selection, while Matthews was named third team honoree. Nebraska volleyball gets off to a good start in Brazil as they beat Brazilian team Minas Tenis Clube 25-8, 25-12, 25-13. The opponent was some of the younger players from the professional club. This is not going to surprise anybody. A few of their scrimmages during the trip are scheduled to be live streamed on YouTube, including yesterday's, and people were watching. At one point, 1,700 fans were watching on the stream. And then they question how they get 91,000 for a match.
So briefly, I was one of those. I'm not sure the level of competition they were playing yesterday. That was a small team.
Really? That's kind of surprising, but yeah.
Well, it's tough. When you go on these trips, it's more of the bonding and the extra practices, and you never know because other groups will set up the competition. Yeah. You never know what you're going to get. That team they played yesterday looked really small.
You're not getting like the elite of the elite. You're not getting the Brazilian national.
Just getting good running.
Yeah.
Get a nice
trip.
They
just looked really young.
Yeah. They probably were.
They could have been in the spelling bee.
So real quickly,
did not help relations between the U.S. and Brazil with Nebraska volleyball.
Yep, nope.
A youth Brazilian volleyball team.
Like you should see. Yeah, well, you wait until you see our elite national team. Real quickly, what's the cap age wise for the spelling bee participants?
Anything in entering?
13.
No. Oh. Is it 13?
Yep.
Okay.
She's 11.
So she's got.
Oh yeah, she'll be back. Oh yeah,
she was one of the youngest.
She's like a red. That's like a redshirt freshman already up for Heisman Trophy.
A little Joe Burrow to her.
Yeah,
finished fifth in the pool because I was going up with guys.
Out of how many?
That there's 20 of us.
That's respectable.
But there's a handful of guys that live in Florida, so they got extra points because the winner was from Florida. I think that the cap is 14 because he's 14.
Oh,
that
okay.
One. Man,
next year, 1620 the zone, your spelling bee station.
I don't know why we don't do an adult spelling bee.
I think it'd be very funny and also very
great idea.
Be very fun and very humiliating. Because the word that she lost to, I thought was maybe something out of The Mandalorian.
And that's what you would ask.
Is this in a movie?
No, sir. Origin? The origin was... Never mind. Game one of the NBA Finals goes to the Denver Nuggets. They hold off the Miami Heat 104-93. Heat has stolen game one in each of the first three rounds of the playoffs, a stat not lost on Nuggets coach Michael Malone.
And here, taking control of the series on our court. To your point, we've done a hell of a job all season long of protecting our home court. I don't think we've lost a game at home in the playoffs as of yet. And we know Sunday night's going to be a hell of a challenge.
Yeah. He knows. He says, I believe we haven't as of yet. He knows. Trust me, they know.
I like Jamal Murray, though, when they were asking about the Heat taking game one in every series. Jamal Murray's like, have we lost a game one in a series yet? Have we? Mm-hmm. Okay, just saying.
Yeah, despite taking just five shots for the first three quarters, Jokic continued his unstoppable triple-double tear through the postseason. He joined Jason Kidd as the only players to make their NBA Finals debut with a triple-double, finishing with 27 points, 14 assists, and 10 rebounds. And unlike Jason Kidd, he won his Game 1, whereas Jason lost Game 1 to the Lakers in 2002. Afterwards, the Joker wasn't buying into this being an easy series.
Who said that we are favorites? The media? And Las Vegas told us that we were underdog before, if I'm correct, I think. I mean, I think we are not the favorites. I think in the finals, there is no favorites.
You heard it from him.
So unimpressed. That's an easy guy to like.
Yep. I'm surprised he didn't say my friend again to the reporter. Game two is Sunday night at 7 o'clock. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver indicated that he has reached a decision regarding the league office's looming disciplinary action against Ja Morant, but would wait until after a champion has been crowned in the finals to announce the punishment. The Grizzlies suspended him on May 14th pending league review after a video on social media circulated showing him brandishing a firearm. The NBA suspended him for 8 games after a similar incident in March, after which he traveled to New York to meet with Silver and other league officials to discuss the issue. During his annual news conference before the NBA Finals opener, Silver said the history of prior acts and the individual player's history would be considered when assessing what discipline is appropriate this time.
Now, it's going to be a long offseason. They said additional information.
Yeah.
There's a price to be paid for foolishness, but there is still time for Ja to make this right.
Mm-hmm.
He needs a lot of friends, good friends, he's going to be out of Memphis for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Grizzlies are going to...
When you drop additional information and the way that he discussed it, and you can tell that Adam Silver was disappointed.
Yeah. And he knows more.
Yeah, it's going to be long off season in Memphis.
Like, yeah, we'll wait till after the finals. We'll wait till Dad gets home. Finally, Joe Mazzulla will return as coach of the Celtics next season. Mazzulla led the Celtics to a 57-25 record and the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference in his first season. As their coach, Boston's season ended Monday with a Game 7 loss to the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. They didn't fail to show up for Game number 7, but still smart decision. Bring him back, see what happens. He's only 34. You think he got quite the education from Coach Spoel in the Conference Finals.
Yeah, Brad Stevens, why is Mazzulla coming back? Is he the best coach for the job? Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah,
that's that was the energy of Brad Stevens.
The ringing endorsement right there. That's what you want to hear as a Boston fan. I think so. Yeah.
Remember, Pat Riley in 06 took over for Stan Van Gundy when he realized, hey, we put this team together. We're not going to let you screw this up. Yeah. And so keep that in the back burner there. You never know. Brad Stevens might be like, you know what? I think I'm going to coach this team.
Well, there
is, one more year at that core.
All of his staff is leaving. They're going to Houston.
Yeah. And they also said they want Jaylen Brown back.
Yeah.
No surprise there. They're going to have to make some decisions.
You get one more year at that group. One more year at that group. You see what everyone can do, including Missoula.
Mm-hmm. You feel he might blow it up after next year. Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy. Kendall Rogers, top of the next hour. The road to Omaha begins. Will Wake Forest, the national number one seed, make it to Omaha? It has been since 99 that the number one overall seed has won a national championship. That and much more, plus the chances for Iowa. I think on the D1 baseball picks, I think a lot of guys had Iowa winning that regional. So Kendall will join us coming up. At 8 o'clock, Mike Schaefer as well on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.